Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 62. Okay, couple quick live show announcements. March 2nd through 5th, I will be performing at the Punchline in San Francisco. Then March 16th through 19th at Zany's in Chicago. April 8th at the Hukelau in Chicopee, Massachusetts. And April 9th, the Wilbur Theater in Boston. Other live shows of note include the following. March 11th, I'll be hosting a chat with Jimmy Fallon at the Paley Center for Media as part of Paley Fest, which is a several-week-long fantastic program series where you can go and see panels of shows that you love. Like, they're doing a Walking Dead panel coming up. They're also doing a community panel, a Freaks and Geeks panel. So you really, 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 really want to see that. And mine with Jimmy Fallon will be Friday, March 11th. Also, the Nerdist Podcast Live will be at South by Southwest Interactive on March 14th. Details on all these shows are at, of course, Nerdist.com. And as part of the growing Nerdist Industries media empire, in a few weeks we're starting up a new podcast called The Questionauts. My friends Aaron Hilliard and Justin Heimberg were part of a secret Cold War era program whose mission was to memorize all human knowledge. They know pretty much everything and can answer any question you throw at them on any topic. From science to art to history, religion, even personal relationships, anything you need answered, they are your guys. So right now we're putting out the call for questions to answer for the first few podcasts. You can tweet them at Questionauts or check out Questionauts.com. That's Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N-A-U-T-S. You can go to that website for sample questions and get more info. And also, they would love to hear from you. So feel free to call their question hotline and leave a voicemail with your question. The phone number is 414-60-INFO-8. That's 414-604-6368. They might just use your voicemail on the podcast. That is snazzy technology right there. All right, that's enough announcements. Here is the next Hostful Podcast, The Nerdist, episode number 62.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Wait, what did you say? The guy who did House of Cosby's did what?
Justin Roiland, who now has his own podcast called Grandma's Virginity, has did a some Channel 101 cartoon short where it was like Marty and McFly in the dock, and like, but the dock would say, it's like, to make things happen, he's like, Marty, but first you have to lick my balls, and then like you just hear ling.
Grandma's Virginity.
Justin Roiland, the creator of House of Cosby's.
So, how could your grandmother be a virgin, Jonah?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't even understand. How could a grandma have a hymen? That would be... If an old lady still had that intact, that would be a hymen you could play at a drum circle.
Oh, it sounded like a piccolo snare.
Guys, welcome...
They're tiny, you get it, people?
Welcome to another Hostful edition of the Nerdist Podcast.
So, you guys like Hostful?
I do.
I like guest lists because it sounds like guest lists, and everyone knows that's really cool.
Yeah, but a bunch of people online voted for it. Someone on the internet threads came up with Hostful. And people have been referring to it as Hostful.
What are we, 4chan? Listen to the internets now?
We should just number it.
I'm sorry.
I think Hostful is nice. It's
yeah,
got enough.
It sounds like hopeful.
It sounds like hopeful.
Like hopefully we don't run out of things to talk about.
So what do you guys want to say? Everything's recording still.
Yeah.
In the shadow of the Rango billboard on Wilshire Boulevard.
Yep.
Still can't tell what that's about.
Well, it's Johnny Depp doing a character as a chameleon
in the West.
And there's some Marachi owl band.
The old flesh-eating toaster bit.
It sounds like a... Yep, nice. The old flesh-eating toaster bit.
There's another weird one now coming out called Mars Needs Moms.
That's Berkeley, but that's Burke Breathed, who did Bloom County.
Oh, is?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I don't know what
that
means.
There's one of those Rango characters looks just like the girl in True Grit.
Interesting.
It's like I don't even know what kind of animal it is, but you'll find it.
Do you think Rango would 69 the gecko, Geico?
Someone should.
What about Gex from the video game Gex from 3DO?
Guys, podcast is over.
Yeah, sorry.
More importantly, what we need to talk about, Jonah Ray, is why you walked in here with a sling on your arm. Why? What happened to your poor little wing?
My bone is fractured. Because I jumped over a barrel, and
why wouldn't you?
And much like the scene, and
that's just a figure of speech. Okay. You know that, right? Over the barrel is just a figure.
If you're
of speech.
Gonna rescue the princess, you gotta jump over some.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Did he get away and climb up the ladder? Did Donkey Kong get away?
He did. Once again, I've been foiled. Much like the scene in That Thing You Do, where dude's jumping over the parking meters.
Yep.
I just fell down on top of my arm and was not able to continue. And now it's in a sling for who knows how long. And I might not get full extension. I might not go 100% back to being able to extend it the whole way.
That's what happened to this elbow. Really? Football in high school. This is as far as that goes.
Someone used you as a football?
No, someone.
Wait, you played football?
I did. Play
Turn
football.
In your nerd badge.
Sorry, I played football.
You
in
watch
high
sports?
School.
You played football? There's a lot of shit that I didn't know about you.
Dave
when you signed
Matthews
on for this.
Band.
Well, that brings it back into it. Dave Matthews cancels out sports.
Come on.
Yeah, but in high school, somebody ran into my arm and bent my elbow the other way.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not supposed to go that way.
No, it was really cool, though, because they took me to the emergency room and they had to cut off my uniform and take my pads off.
Maxi pads?
I thought it was awesome. Yes?
Don't worry, nurse. He listens to Dave Matthews.
Yeah.
Oh, that explains the maxi pads. Jonah, being someone who I don't see on a regular basis, just going, I sure love extending my arms fully. Like, are you really, really worried that that's going to be the case?
I like to gesture.
You're going to look weird in suits. I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You sound like a crazy uncle. Only crazy uncles say, I tell you that much, after they tell you something insane. Yeah, your colon's going to fall out of your asshole. I'll tell you that
much. You're never going to be able to fit your coat correctly.
For telling me just that much.
Yeah. You're never going to boil an egg in that loaf.
I'll tell you that much.
No, I'm sure I can eventually get it back. I just got to work at it.
Well, you didn't destroy your arm. It was just
fracture. It's a hairline stress fracture.
You put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That almost applies.
But it hurts. The turning the key motion is excruciating.
For all your improv space work.
Yes,
like
exactly.
To do at the key factory.
Or Chris starting my car. or getting into my home.
You don't have a button that starts the car?
No, Chris. I am not as rich as you. it's horrible. It's my right arm, too. So all masturbation jokes aside, it's really hard to jerk off.
Yeah, no. All you do is you take your left arm, you sit on it for a while till it falls asleep, and then it feels like someone else's.
The stranger.
Yes.
That's what that one's called.
You paint your nails, and then you put your hand in a freezer so it's a little cold. You guys know what I'm talking
about,
right?
Yeah, I shave my knuckles.
Yeah. Like a cold-hearted mistress in the night, your hand crasps on to your shaft.
But you're...
Why is she cold-hearted?
Hey, by the way, we set up the earbud thing through tweakedaudio.com/nerdist.
Yeah.
Where people get $10 off earbuds. So for $19.95, you get earbuds and you support the Nerdist podcast. They sold a ton.
That's great.
It is great. So I'm very pleased. So I just want to thank you in the Nerdist listening audience for
for going to tweakedaudio.com/nerdist and buying your discounted earbuds.
If you're not convinced that you should be buying these earbuds from Tweaked Audio, just imagine how good it would sound with this harmony in your head. Fellas.
Sorry, Alter Boy.
Jody, you need to get back off the mic a little bit. Just
you back off the mic.
Sorry. I just want...
Turn my headphones up. Turn my headphones up. All right, how's that?
Good.
Okay. That's hard to keep in one spot with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, I'm
piercing pain. I had a set last night. What? And I had to, like, put my hand to take... I didn't want to wear the sling on stage. And so I just, like, took my arm out of the sling, put my hand in my pocket, and winced through an entire set. When I asked my friend how did it look, did it look weird, with my hand in my pocket, he said, no, it just looks like you were really casual.
Like JCPenney casual?
Yeah, exactly.
Catalog casual?
You were just strutting back and forth on stage with your hand in your pocket.
Every once in a while, you're like, and so I had to kick the dog away. Yeah, ow,
exactly. And it's funny, Carl Hess was hosting, you know, funny comedian Carl Hess, and he said, notice how Jonah talked about masturbating but didn't do the masturbation motion. It's because he's classy.
Oh, that's nice. You got the classy nod.
Yeah, exactly.
When in fact, you're in excruciating pain. The tricky thing with a sling in stand-up is if you wear a sling on stage, people automatically assume it's a bit, and then you have to take up time saying, this is not a bit. I've genuinely fractured my arm. Yeah. And then if you don't have a joke about it, then they almost get mad that you...
Yeah, exactly.
Well, fuck you for breaking your arm without writing a joke about it.
Well, it was for a Montreal showcase, so the joke I would have had was, you guys got to laugh tonight because I got to get to Montreal so I don't have to pay for this myself.
Yeah. My Montreal showcase a couple years ago opened with, can't wait to perform in Montreal, or Practice France, as I call it. that was fun. Those were good times. Those were very good times. A lot of big news this week. Our dear, sweet, kind manager, Alex, had a baby.
Yes.
His wife had a baby.
Leo.
Yep, Leo Murray.
Leo Murray is his kid's name.
Leo Murray!
Yeah, exactly. He's basically making, our manager is making himself the, he's going to raise him as like to be the Uber manager.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Leo Murray was born in 2011.
He came out wearing a vest.
Yeah, he had a cigar. He knew how to be a man from day one.
He came out with a friar's coat.
Leo Murray.
Is it crass that I might want to design a line of baby clothes that say things like, on a little toddler's jumper, I destroyed my mother's vagina? Or do you feel like that's appropriate?
I think those will sell.
Not crass, just facts.
Just facts.
Exactly.
I mean, temporarily. Right?
Yeah, does it ever go back?
No.
I don't know.
No?
No.
It's always something different?
That's why strippers and porn stars get that little C-section.
That little C-section thing?
Yeah, it's a little scar instead of a messed up vagina.
Well, or they
why
could
do
just
strippers
have an
need
vagina.
To do that?
I don't know. It's just the thing they do.
They still want to be
don't
able to.
Don't ask me about their culture.
Well, you're the one saying facts about the culture.
How many strip clubs? Matt, you lead a weird, dark, non-nerd life, don't you?
Sometimes.
What else goes on behind Matt's closed doors?
What do I do that's not nerdy? I don't know. I mean, the sports thing is probably the biggest thing.
But that's a different kind of nerd.
But you even managed to make that nerdy. You're like the Sklars in that sense.
Yeah,
where like,
yeah.
You're sports nerds.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
You're not just like an irritating sports super fan that, you know, like you actually nerd out about the stats. I mean, I can get behind the stats and the numbers of
the numbers.
Of it
all.
Yeah, but I mean, I can drop it if I need to in a situation and people don't want to hear about sports. I won't talk about it.
Hmm.
What a play! That's about as far as I go.
Guys, I don't know if you care about this, but a couple days ago. In classic Radiohead fashion, they just announced that they're dropping their new album, The King of Limbs, this Saturday.
Oh, really? So they still haven't yet changed their name to Overrated Diohead.
Shit, dude. I hope you got another sling, because I'm about to get all Tom York up in your ass.
Did you have any idea they were recording an album?
I mean, I just assume they're a band. They always record songs, but they're putting it out.
But, like, I'm aware when the Dave Matthews Band is in the studio.
Yeah.
So were you aware they were in the studio?
You're weird.
Okay.
Well, this is another thing that bugs me about that band.
You tread lightly, my friend. Tread way fucking lightly.
There was a promo picture of them in front of a 1,000-year-old oak tree, and they said that was the inspiration for the album, A 1,000-Year-Old Oak Tree.
That album? I mean, that oak tree probably saw a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the oak tree lived a lot of lives. It's got a lot of rings. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of, you know, birds live up there. They go away. The leaves die. The tree petrifies. I mean, you know, Jonah, every tree is a story.
Exactly. A very boring story.
Every tree is a story. There's a store on 3rd Street here in L.A., called Noodle Stories.
What?
You never seen this place?
No.
And I always, Janet and I have this inside joke where we just come up with the dumbest, hippiest things, and we're like, that's a noodle story.
That's a noodle story.
Today, we made dishware out of yarn. Noodle stories. Like, they're just dumb, weird, crafty factoids.
There's a Chinese place downtown on 4th, or on Main, and it's called Urban Noodle.
Lo Main?
It's called Urban Noodle, mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that's a really polite way of saying black cock.
When you were there ordering?
Yes. I was like, is this really supposed to be called black cock?
Main Street also has, because we both did that, I don't know if you did it last night, but I did that show at the Downtown Independent.
Yeah, Dave Ross's Holy Fuck.
Fun show.
Really fun show.
Dana Gould was on the show. Jackie Cation. I saw Ron Lynch there. I saw a couple other people there. But there's a snack, because they're really hipstering up that block of Main Street. If you don't know downtown Los Angeles, it is a place that... gentrification has been threatening for decades. And it's always
finally kind
it
of
feels like it's finally starting to kick in, but still I never think to just go downtown. But there seem to be activity going in there. But there's a hipster pet store down there called Pussy and Pooch.
Yeah, Pussy and Pooch. Yeah, that's down there. There's a really good pho place around there, guys. You
Isn't
ever get any pho?
Pho. Pho.
Tweaked earbuds.
Mike Furman and I used to do the THX thing, and the way you do the THX thing is you and I start on the same note, and then I go up an octave and you go down an octave.
Oh, okay.
Until we're on the same note again.
I can't sing.
All right, you ready?
All right.
And this guy knows good music.
Why wasn't he off? Maybe he was off of me.
I was off of you because you were wrong, but
it's
fine.
Yeah, I know. I told you right before I started that I can't sing. Never have been able to. I can barely talk. You guys know that.
Oh, you poor. Are you taking any designer drugs for your broken arm?
Just ibuprofen.
They give you ibuprofen. That's
they didn't
fine.
Give me anything. I actually bought this sling myself from...
What kind of hospital did you go to?
I didn't go to a hospital. I went to a walk-in clinic. I don't have healthcare.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't mind the walk-in clinics. I like them. The guy was nice. Dr. Jays was his name. He had a mustache and a soul patch.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would be slightly critical of you, but I have health insurance and never go to the doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you thought your foot was going to fall off for about a month before
Still
ever
pretty
doing...
sure it might.
Yeah. Sucking your arm in a jar of warm beets will cure any aches and pains you might have.
Noodle stories!
Noodle Stories is going to be a new... That place is going to wonder why they're going to start getting weird emails from people with bizarre single-line quotes. We don't sell beets.
But how am I supposed to fix this? Oh, the worst part about the night that this arm thing happened, Deanna, my lovely girlfriend, made me an Epsom salt bath to soak in. As I was stepping into it, my foot slid forward and my right arm shot out to catch my entire weight of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And did nothing but just say fuck for probably about 20 minutes.
You're probably, what, like 100 pounds?
Yeah, I'm a good 100.
Was that after you had already been and they said it was fractured?
No, that was the night. It was like a few hours after
it wasn't fractured and that did it.
Oh, good point.
It could have exacerbated the problem for sure.
That's true. But
so I think what we're saying is you and Deanna kind of need to take some time apart. Yeah, I mean, she's clearly trying to murder you.
Yeah.
Why don't you just step into this warm Epsom salt?
Murder, death, kill.
Should my skin be burning?
Oh, that was another fucking thing that happened. They like after it happened, someone passed me one of those chemical ice packs that just, you know, freeze up. And had it on my arm, and then all of a sudden my arm started burning. There was fucking holes in the chemical ice pack.
God.
And I still have scabs on my arm now from the fucking... It was a horrible, horrible day.
Everyone is out to ruin you.
I think so. It's, you know...
We love you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You guys are the
you
best.
You guys are the best.
You guys are the best.
Did you do anything for Valentine's Day, you and Janet?
You know, we both... Janet's birthday is today, actually, that we're recording this, the 16th. So we exchange cards in the morning, but Janet's very much, Janet has the classically sort of dude stylings. No, that's not the right word.
Janet's a dude.
Janet has a large, gorgeous penis. Vaginas, they're like 4 inches long and they swell up when they get excited, right? Vaginas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they spit in your face. Right?
That's their G-spots.
Yeah, yeah. Their ovaries hang down
right
outside.
Exactly.
And then
all the fluid drains from their boobs.
Yeah.
And then it goes into their...
I sure like to give a hand job to a vagina right when you just aim it at your face. Vaginas, right? Noodle stories.
Noodle stories. That's a real noodle story.
That is a serious fucking noodle story, you guys. Did you sit your arm?
My hand pivoted.
Oh, man, I feel so bad for you.
It sucks. It sucks. And it's just, and it like hurts to type, you know? And I write.
You're a writer. You started back on Web Soup this week.
Web Soup started this week. So glad to be back.
It's nice. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be an awesome season.
We got a lot of fun shit going on.
Your girlfriend Greta, Matt, made you a delightful little photoshopped image of your face.
Yes, that's
on.
That's what she did at work. She photoshopped my face onto the cover and her face as the companion onto the Doctor Who season 5 DVD.
Yep.
That she turned into season 6.
Where she's jumping in the background, and floating in space in the background, and the TARDIS is in the background, and Matt's up front.
Yeah.
Love how swollen my head looked in the. There's no way to fit my head onto Matt's.
We should post
head.
That. I feel like we need to post that.
Sure.
Yeah, I retweeted it. It's Deanna and I ordered in on Valentine's Day and then finished up season 3 of Doctor Who.
Holy shit, dude!
Greg and I went to the corner to get that salad that I had when we got it.
Oh, you were obsessed with that. It was a good
so
salad.
So good. It was so good. Spinach and chicken salad.
Talk about it.
Get it, people.
God damn it.
The listenership has been up.
Are we in a marketing meeting now? we're really doing well in our key demographics here. I think if we can cross-platform the dynamics.
Let's be sure to synergize our vertical integration.
What we really need to be doing is, we need to vertical and horizontal.
We should get a firm in here to make sure our SEO is where it should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's actually true.
Business.
That's what you just said is actually very true. We do need to optimize our search engineing. If that is possible.
Data. That's what we need, data.
Lieutenant Commander?
Yes.
We need Lieutenant Commander data. Well, guys, this is a big announcement that I feel like I should just drop right now.
Patrick Stewart.
No. Oh, my God.
That would be
you think I would have been able to contain that this long if that were the case?
Hey, Chris. It's Patrick Stewart's
name. Patrick Stewart. I just ejaculated Patrick Stewart's name all over the microphone. The Nerdist Industries is going to have a physical headquarters.
Say proud to present.
Nerdist headquarters is taking over the back of Meltdown Comics.
Yeah, congratulations.
This is the official announcement?
I guess this is technically the official announcement, sometime in the next couple months, we're going to start doing shows there. We'll do our live podcast from Meltdown. Mm-hmm. Your Meltdown show will go untouched.
The Meltdown will still be every Wednesday.
But I want to have like a cool creative space where we can have other shows and do live podcasts and show movies and
movie nights.
Can I have a desk somewhere?
Yes, you can have a desk.
I mean, there's that
attic.
Wait,
do you have to be at it?
No.
Okay.
There's that attic area. There's so much space up there.
Well, what's so awesome about going through Meltdown Comics is I was going through it with the owner Gaston today because the offices that I'm taking over are now just storage space up top. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. Building used to be a hardware store, and so the upper level is just all exposed beams and like wood that's just old and rare, and
it's awesome.
It's gorgeous. And so, you know, he has all this strange collectible stuff back there.
He has a huge glass bookcase full of old Astro Boy figurines from just years and years ago.
But like, there's a desk, and he's like, This desk is from the Dharma Initiative. It's from the set.
Oh, from when they had all that Dharma stuff.
Yeah, he's like, "Do you want the desk?" I'm like, how could you even ask me that? Yeah. Of course I do.
Gaston's an awesome guy.
He's great,
dude. All the time. Let's have fun. All right.
He's so fucking cool.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Just the idea of
dude, you fucking sit there, you film a video. It's great, man.
Just the idea of he might not like us now after that impersonation.
No, I do it to his face.
Okay, you do. Okay,
he's like, dude, what's up, dude? How's it going?
So I think I'm so excited by the prospect of having Nerdist Industries be a comic book store. The fact that it's Meltdown.
Yeah, a very historic. The
place has been here for almost 20 years.
Over 20 years,
And it's huge, and it's super awesome. And so, we're going to.
And it has a home. We're going to have like a rack full of stuff. like yeah. products,
sure,
shirts.
Sure, why not?
Jonah recommends.
I think, yeah, yeah. You know what I think happened? I think when you fell, it activated some weird business center in your brain because today has all been about, we need to market to the young demographic.
No, I think it's neat. You know, it's like
a home base.
Remember when the Disney store first opened and all that magic just locked away in a mall? It was great. You could just visit it.
Now it's just full of pedophiles.
Uh-huh.
I might take that out. But it's just the idea of having, because I was talking to, because Emily,
yes.
Emily Gordon.
Emily was the co-producer of the Meltdown show.
Meltdown, I've made her the sort of theater director.
Yeah, perfect.
Because she's great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking today, and it just feels like this is exactly the kind of space when you're a kid and you're like, man, if I had like a basement, I would put a stage there and sell stuff over there, and people could hang out over there.
Exactly.
It's sort of like it's almost like the mansion C. Martin has in The Jerk. Where you're like,
yeah. Remember how I always wanted
a red billiard room with a giant stuffed cat.
I wanted a 24-hour disco with all my friends dancing the night away.
So you know, it's we really want to make it that space. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It's gonna be awesome.
But with that, I was realizing that we, you know, there needs to be some. I really want to have like a cool architect or a designer come in and just look at the space and see what they could do with it. So if you're listening to this podcast and you happen to work for a design firm or an architect firm, we should shoot like a Nerding Spaces kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because Emily earlier was like, "Oh yeah, it'll be like in Revenge of the Nerds where they fix up the house," and I go, "Yeah, that was a montage, and it only took them 5 minutes."
Yeah.
But that's what we need to do. We need the Nerding Spaces montage. So if we can find a firm or an architecture firm, if they want to pitch us ideas, you can shoot us an email at podcast@nerdist.com, and you know, and if we all decide to work together, we will actually shoot the montage. Because right now, the space, there's almost no lighting in it. It looks like an attic, but it's huge, and the potential for it is so awesome.
What song are you going to use for the montage? Is it going to be Walking on Sunshine?
It could be You Got Me Working Day and Night.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You got me working day and night. Yeah. It could be one of the Real Genius montage songs.
Number one is the hard love in the day. What about the song? The song that South Park used for the World of Warcraft episode, that live to win,
oh yeah,
till you die.
Yep, that could be good. We used to do that stuff on Barnyard too. We would do montage songs all the time.
Yes,
we need a montage, a little bit of action that starts here and ends over there. It was just like, but I feel like South Park really took that to as far as you can go with it. So.
Yeah, talking fucking. No, that was Team America.
Maybe the other side of this is we have people suggest montage songs. Because why would we ever think of anything on our own?
No, why don't people make us a fucking montage song?
Oh my God, you're thinking clearly now for the first time in your goddamn life. This injury's the best thing that's ever happened to you. Do you understand? We have to keep breaking Jonah to get these fantastic ideas. It's like cracking a jar, and then you realize that there's like a rolled up first version of the Constitution inside. You bought it at a garage sale. Like, that's Jonah's national treasure as a person. Unbelievable. We have to shake you up to get these ideas.
Yeah, just so it can scare me. Just got to put the fear of God in my...
Well, first of all, you have to be a theist. Then we'll put the fear of him in you.
Ew!
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my science.
Yeah, when people sneeze, I will either say, bless you, or science! Because I don't know what they're...
Yeah.
I don't know what their religious landscape is.
Oh, my science.
Oh, science. Oh, science. Oh, fucking science. That's when you're fucking a test tube.
Oh.
Do you guys want to...
Want to look at viewer mail?
viewing with your ears.
Yeah.
That's what it would look... If we got a P.O. box, it would be full of stuff like that.
But yeah, some guy wants to send us books.
Send us books.
Wait, you know what? There's an envelope in there. Sorry, guy who has only one working arm right now. There's an envelope in here.
I'm not helping.
Matt, you didn't even... please, stay completely seated, Matt.
I just sat and said, I'm not helping.
I got on a weird publisher's list, and I keep getting these weird, like, sci-fi romance novels, like, about sexy werewolves and sexy...
Is it
Witches?
George McFly's first book?
Oh, wait.
It's Robin Hobb, Dragonhaven.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. One of the most important writers in the 21st century fantasy, says the Contra Costa Times. And Star Carrier, book 2, oh good, by Ian Douglas.
These might be very good books. I don't know, but I mean, someone does. At least I'm on the right kinds of lists.
Yeah. Well, here's a listener, Anton Strout, says congrats on our year of the podcast. He loves the hostile stuff. He forgot who mentioned it, but having grown up in Western Mass, he still recalls Six Flags New England Riverside.
Yes.
And now it's Great Adventure.
That was me.
And then he says, excited for the Nerd Book. And he's actually, his day job is at Penguin.
Oh, publishing. Yeah, that's who's publishing The Nerdist Way.
Yeah, so he's very excited for your book. But he also writes books. He's one of the authors there, and he does urban fantasy, which is a kind of mix of Ghostbusters with a Joss Whedon sensibility. We're about four books into my series so far, and I love writing them. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Doesn't Ghostbusters kind of have a Joss Whedon sensibility?
I think so. I think Joss Whedon has a Ghostbusters sensibility. Yeah.
Yes.
Anton Strout, and he wants to send us his books.
You're welcome to do that, Anton Strout.
Yeah, I feel weird giving you my address. Just don't fuck me over, okay?
Did you just give me your address?
I haven't yet.
You can have him send stuff here. Or when we start Nerdist HQ, they can send it to Nerdist at Meltdown.
That's true. Yeah, we might. Yeah, we should probably just do that. Yeah. I'll get back to you, Anton. But yeah. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to see your books. Yeah.
Sweet! Okay, here's one from Matthew Driscoll. Matt, I am currently dealing with a MacBook that has lost its middle row of keys due to my drunken stupidity. Mm-hmm. Apple told me they just couldn't fix the keyboard because some water also touched the motherboard. Show us on the motherboard where the water touched you. It has been over a year since the accident. The accident. I like how he says the accident. Yeah. Like it's like
he
like
still wakes up
like
in the middle of the night.
He's a quadriplegic.
He still wakes up and just like, oh my god.
No, it's like I can still feel the keys where they should be, but they're not there.
Phantom keys.
They're phantom keys. It's been over a year since the accident. And there are no other problems with my computer. Is there any way to get around this policy and get my keyboard fixed?
Well,
yes, but I can't. Could I tell him?
You will have to email him the quote-unquote bad news, Matt, that you will not be able to help him in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to,
No, it's not fixable.
Pretty easy to not get that fixed at a local retail store if your top case was chipping.
Okay, here we go. Here's one from Greg Goldman at, I almost gave out his email address. Hey, it's just Greg Goldman. Hey guys, my name is Greg G, and I'm coming to LA February 22nd to 28th from West Orange, New Jersey. First of all, I love your show, and I had to do the accent. I'm sorry. First of all, I love your show, and especially listen to the non-guest shows in particular, now called Hostful. I figured you needed to hear that. You're right. We're narcissists. This is bizarre. I have a weird no-homo request.
Hmm.
All right? I really want to go see Price is Right on the 24th and be a contestant, and I have tickets, and I really want to go. I actually changed my flight by a week so I can go.
Okay.
I'm pretty down on my luck. I'm in my mid-20s. Can't find a job or anything I went to college for.
That's what your mid-20s are for, being down on your luck.
Yeah, you'll be fine, buddy. You're in your mid-20s. You're going to be fine. Applied everywhere. No answer. I figured I would give Nerdist a shot since you're, nerds, and you've been down this road before. Hey, don't drag us into your pit.
Okay.
If Matt Myra,
yep.
If he can get off work, or Jonah Ray want to tag along, he wants you guys to go to Price is Right with him.
What day?
You can't go, though. You can't go.
Wow.
It's weird, and I have friends. I just thought it would be a good story for the podcast, and all I want to do is see you guys succeed. You're so nice, Matt. Greg Goldman.
Greg Goldman is his name?
Greg Goldman.
Greg, that shoots right next to the Grove, so if you're around the Apple Store, just pop in.
Just pop in and say, here's the problem. We are friends with Drew Carey, so we will never be allowed to go.
You're right.
What is weird is that, because of, if you ever saw the movie Quiz Show, the whole game show scandal, mm-hmm. there are stricter cheating on game show laws than there are, drug laws in this fucking country.
Or election laws.
So you can't, because we know Drew, we would never actually be able to go to Price is Right that. So.
Crazy.
Not even to see it.
But. Listen, Greg Goldman,
you
should go to the Grove with some of your friends, hit the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll run into Matt Myra.
Yeah. And if you're here on a Wednesday, come by Meltdown Comics, check out the new future home of Nerdist Industries, and take in a show.
All business since the injury.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's awesome. I'm so impressed.
I'm running out of time.
Wait, did it strike a lifeline or something when you finally
realized he's 29 this year?
Uh oh.
Yeah, 29 in August, huh?
Thanks, Matt. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Oh, you kids. Your kids will be
no,
fine.
No, I don't think about it. I mean, come on. I've had the body of a fucking 48-year-old man for a long time, so.
You should. It's probably time to bury 48-year-old
that. 48-year-old man who never got his son.
Probably time to bury that. Okay, here's a subject line from Tom Rowe. First world problem. Hey, guys. Here's a Facebook status update from someone I only sort of knew in college, but I'm still friends with on the internet, and I think it's a perfect example of young hip type I care about the world guy doing a great job of really caring about the world. So here's the thing. Good with the bad. Good. Mubarak steps down. Bad. No LCD sound system ticks. Yep. Those two things are...
Yeah.
Those are diametrically opposing things.
Set for irony, right? That wasn't serious.
Yeah, that's...
Set phasers to irony.
Here we go. Ironic. Mubarak tweet. Let's take one more here. Question for the next hostful podcast. Mm. This is from Paul Schillinger Jr. I was hoping Paul Schillinger Sr. would write.
Someday. He's so busy.
Yeah. You gets in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Hey, you have Big Polly email us, all right?
you have Big Polly. Hey, there's one set of footprints in the sand. That's where Big Polly was carrying you.
All the way down that beach.
Yep, all the way down the beach. Here's something for the next Hostful Podcast. I'd love to hear your thoughts about fans having instant access to you via Twitter, Facebook, email, and blog comments. Is it a good thing that people can just say stuff to you whenever they feel like it? Not always. I feel like it'd be tiresome. I'll be honest. The internet has taught me that not everyone deserves an opinion. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I feel like it would get tiresome after a while, like trying to do a show while someone insistently shouts Thailand from the back of the room. Yeah, when we did the Zach Galifianakis podcast. Right. At Sketchfest, I cut this out because the girl wasn't mic'd and it didn't make any sense.
No.
She just kept shouting Thailand, mm-hmm. Thailand, Thailand, and so that was no fun for anyone. It's something I've been wondering about because I find myself tweeting and messaging celebrity people more often lately. I was the tapeworm buddy guy. Oh, great!
Oh, you drew that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And while I think, he drew the tapeworm buddy thing. Yeah. We should put that up as well. And while I think I do a good job of not harassing people, I wonder what it, except for this email, I wonder what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that. I'm kidding. Paul Schillinger Jr. There you go. I realize it's not an awesome list of 10 magical items, but you can squeeze a couple minutes out of it.
Well, yes. Little Polly.
Little Polly, I'll tell you, you really have to, because comics and performers are naturally insecure people. And so you can read a bunch of things that are very positive about yourself. And then someone says one shitty thing.
Yep.
And you take that more seriously, mm-hmm. and then you kind of get into this really dumb, why doesn't that person like me? It's so fucking childish, but you can't help it. And so what you kind of have to develop a sort of a different perspective. Because the internet, when people tweet shit at you or they write stuff to you, it's the same as walking up to someone's face and going like, you're a giant cavernous douchebag. Like, you would never say that to someone's face.
No, they wouldn't.
But when people are typing stuff,
it flows easier. The hate flows better.
The hate flows easier. The hate flows easier in broadband.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's how they pitched it in the beginning. Broadband. The hate flows easier.
So it really is just about kind of, you don't know what the presence of mind of the person is who sent the thing, or you just also have to imagine, like, I don't know why we have this weird algorithm in our head, like, I want everyone to like me.
Yeah, that's not the way anything works.
At all. And you just have to realize, like, some people are going to like what you do, some people are not going to like what you do. Yeah. And you just have to, I get bummed about it more from a humanity perspective. Like, what is so wrong in that person's life that they felt like it was okay to say the worst thing they could think of to someone? Like, I just get sad from a humanity perspective. Like, that is clearly not a happy person. Those, and that bums me out.
Those make me laugh, though. I'll look through our comments sometimes, and I see a good comment, and I'm really pleased, and I feel very fortunate that we get these people liking our stuff. And then I read a bad comment, and that just makes me crack up, because usually the grammar is horrible, and they're funny because they're usually pretty dumb. And that's easy for me to say because they're like shitting on us. Mm-hmm. But I get a kick out of it because I don't care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they care this much about us or me to say something bad, that's hilarious to me. it's like, someone trying to fuck with you and you're like, oh, this is so funny because I don't care what happens in the end with you. I love it. I like when I look through comments, I hit a bad one, I laugh, and I shut it down.
What bad ones? What bad ones?
Nothing, Chris. No. Chris.
What are the bad ones? You said we've been all positive comments.
Jonah, Matt, I'm so sorry.
Jonas, you shut him off. Safe word.
We're
God
all
damn
making
it.
Plans Fuck. For Hardwick.
Oh, shit.
No shit, God. See?
Damn it. We will be back shortly.
Why doesn't that person I don't know like me?
here's a fun comment really quick by Ocean Christ. Hostful is great. Matt is wicked awesome. You queer? Yeah. Smiley face emoticon.
You're queer.
You're
wicked awesome, you're queer. Hey, here's a fun one from Lewis. I want to say, it could be Lewis O'Raga.
Louis O'Raga. Raga? Raja. Soft G, hard G. I'm spending way too much time on his name. Mm-hmm. I know at some point or another you, Joan, or Matt have had a terrible, horrifying story of either being completely and utterly embarrassed or booed. Why would you assume that? I'm sure there was a good story you could tell that I could eat a sandwich to. P.S. Joe Genius, where did it go?
Oh, shit. Joe Genius. Yeah.
Where did it go?
That was funded by the National Science Institute in conjunction with Discover Magazine, and Discover was sold to another publishing company, mm-hmm. Who found my humor to be not in line with their Christian beliefs. This is a direct quote.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and they didn't like, you know, which is weird because they're buying a fucking science rag,
right?
And they found my, like, you know, jokes about. You know, like I make a joke about, you know, the devil, I think, because we did a thing when there was a tornado of fire, and, you know, mm-hmm. just and then they said it's not, you know, it's not our style, and so they didn't want to do it.
How is science in line with their beliefs? But
yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah,
I don't get it. But you know, it was a fun.
They bought Discover magazine.
Yeah, they bought Discover magazine.
You start to see like weird. Irreducible complexity stories and all sorts of bizarre creationism stuff. Like
Jesus riding a brontosaurus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure he did.
That's what happened to Joe Genius. It was fun. It was a fun 3 days making all those episodes.
You could fit a lot of Jesuses on a brontosaurus.
Tons of Jesus. So many Tons Jesus. Of Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, what's that Simpsons? I call it Billy and the Clonosaurus.
Billy and the Clonosaurus. Yes. yeah, Joe Genius was a show that you hosted that was on
Revision 3 Network. Yeah, it was just a fun one-off little season thing. I have many one-off web shows.
You were great. It was a lot of fun. Revision 3 is great, too.
Yeah.
By the way, hopefully my buddy Ryan Vance from Revision 3 is listening. You just got name-checked Ryan Vance.
I love Ryan Vance.
He's the best. Yeah. He's the only other person I know that's as tall as you. Yeah, maybe a little tall. Well, except for Tall John.
Tall John, that's a fucking tall guy.
Okay, so just kind of, you said Jesus on a brontosaurus, and that reminded me of Jesus on a brontosaurus. I reminded me that... Come on, that's a band name. Jeez, I am Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that actually sounds like a song that Crash Test Dummies would have recorded.
Jeez, I am Brontosaurus.
So, you know, I had this theory before that for the longest time that the Jetsons preceded the Flintstones.
Yes.
And that there was some sort of weird, you know, apocalyptic thing that happened and, you know, and maybe they tried to clone dinosaurs or something and then just all hell broke loose and that's why. That's why the Flintstones was advanced enough.
Yeah.
Because they had some technology, but it was still all snarky animal-based.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Molly Lewis, who is an awesome musician who tours with the Woodstock, she said her theory was that this blew my mind, that the Jetsons and the Flintstones coexisted so that the Jetsons were up in the clouds.
Oh.
Like just up in the lower atmosphere and everything below, because you never saw the ground of the Jetsons. It was all Flintstones down below.
I would be totally on board for that. But then you would see the posts of that all the apartments and buildings and the Jetsons. You would see those on the ground.
Maybe they're just floaters.
Maybe there's like a little ion engine keeping them up.
Maybe there's an ion engine keeping them up.
You don't know what you just said.
You don't know what I just said.
I know.
Then we agree.
Yeah. So it's settled then.
So a terrifying, horrible story of complete and utter failure. Let's open the floor to Matt Myra first.
Jeez.
I know it's hard. Reach back into that library of successes and see if you can find one black mark.
Oh, that was mean.
That did sound mean. I didn't mean it that way.
That was really mean.
No, I just mean...
No, I'll reach back into my library of failure.
I said library of successes.
Oh, wait, no, I think we just had that moment right now where I've been so horribly utterly embarrassed.
I said library of successes, and you know,
in the worst way possible.
It really
you
was.
You could not have said that in a tone that was.
It would have been
more...
impossible. I was the internet just now. Yeah. I was the internet.
Hey, Matt. Do me a favor. Try. Fucking try. Try to think of anything in your life.
Here's what I meant by that.
No!
Here's what I meant by that. By the way, we're broadcasting from we're in the IT department in the NBC Universal building. Which we literally
We did this to make Matt feel more comfortable.
Here's what I...
How did this all of a sudden become the Ricky Gervais show?
I don't know. Matt Myra, I heart you times a million.
Here's what I meant by that. And when I explained to you what was going through my head, I might not have to cut all this out. So
the size of that nugget. Perfectly round head.
Like a fucking orange.
Wait. What I meant was, in anyone's life, there are failures. There are numerous failures.
Yeah.
So it was not you specific. I would have said that about me. I would have said that about Jonah. Like, I totally would have said, like, let me reach back into my library of successes to see if I can find one failure, sarcastically. Yeah. I said that it totally came out horribly, and I humbly apologize, but that was not, the intention was not to say, like, you're a bucket of failure.
I like the way pick one.
I wasn't saying that. What happened since lunch? I wasn't saying that.
Why are you assuming I ate, Chris?
Oh.
Is that a fat joke?
No.
Here we go.
These two. No, I love you, and I humbly apologize. No, that was not the intention.
The way you said it was very funny.
It was horrible.
Wait, like, how did we get here?
I was asking Matt about failure. Like we're telling failure stories.
Oh, okay.
Well, this one goes up there for me. Yeah, but what was yours?
I honestly can't, and this sounds odd, but I can't really think, besides getting rolled and blown over by a golf cart, I cannot think of something specifically where I failed and was very sad about it.
Okay, good. Well, you get a pass because I accidentally...
Your turn.
No, you go.
No, your turn.
Your turn.
No, your turn.
I never made Eagle Scout. That bummed my dad out. That was a failure.
For him, not for you. Why are you trying to live in your dad's Eagle Scout life?
Me too, though. Most astronauts were Eagle Scouts.
I mean, unless yours is going to trump. I don't... I have a hard time trying to think of it. You know, because you I think we talked about that before. You try not to remember the...
You try to bury that shit.
Yeah, try to remember the clunker songs, you know?
Yeah, but it's good to, you know, it's good to own your failures.
Yeah.
I have so many of them. I mean, my career is a fucking graveyard of failures.
But the thing is that you've always, and I think a lot of people do, guys like us, we turn those into something positive.
Were
just you like
referring
you
to my failed UPN sitcom, Guys Like Us?
No, I was saying...
Which is true.
There was the e-pilot that we did.
Yep.
It didn't go, and then this was born.
That's true. That's why I'm saying it's good to kind of take stock of your failures. Oh, I'm trying to move your poor arm.
I'm sorry. I was just...
You right?
Yeah.
Oh, do you need help?
No.
Do you want me to text someone for you?
Yeah.
I'll just sit.
Just looking at the...
Yeah, I think it's good to own your failures and sort of look back and figure out how you... I mean, they're not failures if you can learn something from them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... Hey, well, that's not how you do that. So you figure out another way. But I have so many horrible bombing stories and so many horrible. I said I tried to be. This is a great one. This doesn't even reach that far back into the Hardwick archive of Hard Wikipedia.
The Hardcive.
Yeah. My friends Gabe and Etta, who were a wonderful comic duo. They're the ones doing the robotic edition of Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're replacing the N-word with robot.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I thought it was funny. So many people were like, you know, this is turning into Fahrenheit 451. It's like, what part of putting the word robot in did you think they were super serious about? I mean, they're going to make the book, but it's not like they're making fun of the controversy.
Yeah,
like, they're satirizing the controversy.
Yeah, not the book.
In a wonderful way.
Exactly.
So
then we burned the book.
So Etta had a birthday party, and... The part of the birthday party was a salon where everyone kind of gets up and, you know, you come in with a topic and then you share like a sort of a how-to topic with everyone. And I didn't think I was going to be able to make the party, so I didn't prepare anything. And then I showed up late, and they were like, well, you got to go up. And I was like, I can't. You know, I didn't bring anything. They're like, doesn't matter. And so what I did was I when I first started writing comedy, I wrote this really horrible story about a boy and his grandmother. Do you remember that story?
Oh, I think I do, yeah.
It basically starts out, I say this is the last chapter of a book, of this very dramatic family drama that I've written, and I want to read it for people. And it starts out about how this kid's been living with his grandmother, his parents had died, he's going off to the army, and it's a sad, dramatic moment. And then it just turns into this really graphic, sexual depiction of this kid and his grandmother. And it's so... There's no swearing in it, but it is so... uncomfortably descriptive. Ugh. So naturally I thought, well, I'll just read that like it's a real thing, and it bummed everyone out because there came to try. They actually brought real information, and a lot of it was fantastic information.
Jeez.
And I got to be the fucking asshole comic who, you know, like, can't you fucking take anything seriously? Like, it was, it really, it was such, and because most, a lot of their friends were not, they're not comics. And so it just didn't, I didn't get that pass. And so it was just it was just a narcissistic situation where I went out of my way to try to be all funny, and it was, you know, comedy injuries hurt worse, like 20% worse than regular fuck-ups. Yeah.
It's basically, comedy injuries are like putting yourself out there for a girl, you know, where you just, you tell a girl like, hey, listen, I am totally obsessed with you.
Yeah.
And then that's, and then she says no.
All right. What was your story?
Oh, no, I don't think I had one. I was just saying, like, you know, comedy injury is a lot like telling a girl that you've been in love with her for years and then her going, no.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
You sure you don't want to?
No, that's
kind of... It's going out on the limb and having the limb snap and then you fall to the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
See, it starts up fine. You're fine.
It's not awesome. That's not awesome.
Yeah, I think we've all done that.
But I have so many like bombing stories, like bombing in front of my parents, bombing in front of a girlfriend at the time,
but you know,
bombing in front of agents.
It's weird though, because you don't think of those as failures really as much as just part of the process.
I think that's
kind of a comic's mind, or just a person that artist, you know, you're just like, it's a failure, but you grow from it, so it's not really a failure.
That's how you know if you have the weird fucked up performance gene, is that if you can bomb as horribly as you can bomb, but something in your brain says, I'm gonna get back up and do that again.
Yeah.
Then you know that you have the curse.
Yeah, Mike Birbiglia. Mike Birbiglia talked about that, I think, in one of his Moth appearances, where he said, you know, the whole thing about, you know, comedy is that you just pretty much got to lie to yourself for a while and fake it till you make it.
Yeah, and then eventually the shows start going better, and then you feel okay and everything's all right. Do you guys have any shows this week?
Just the weekly
Wednesday Meltdown show,
and I got the pilot taping next week Wednesday.
Don't forget Sunday night.
Sunday night, there's two shows I have, and your show is one of them.
Yeah, that's right. One Star, but One Star UCB is already sold out.
Yeah.
There'll be a standby line.
There's also Ted Leo at the in Eagle Rock. A lot of comics opening up for him.
Sweet.
But, I don't know, should we do what we're into right now?
I'm going to go to Gallifrey 1.
Yeah, you're doing that Saturday,
The
huh?
Doctor Who convention.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Where is it? Is it the airport?
I think it's
Hilton,
it might be the airport
something?
Hilton or the airport Marriott or something. I'm not sure, but it's called Gallifrey 1.
You gonna take a nice camera and take some good pictures? And
CBS
stuff?
Is going with them.
I'm going for the. I'm covering it for Craig Ferguson.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah,
that's great. Is she gonna bring a good camera?
Yeah, you know, iPhone cameras, full cams.
Yeah.
Well, it's 5 megapixels. So
it is. They take good pictures. That's awesome.
Yeah, I need it. I want a Canon EOS 7D. Like those things. People are shooting fucking commercials on those.
Canon,
if you're
listening, please send us.
gimme.
Oh, look at us.
I'll tell you what, though, when we move Nerdist headquarters to Meltdown, we will be looking for things like interns and people to help out with stuff. I mean, we are some paid positions, some not paid positions. I mean, you know, we
be a part of a creative community.
We need to cover little stories.
If you have a comic book store, you could start a nerdy theater in the back. Little stories.
Sorry, my brain just died.
Uh-oh.
Wow. No. We should talk about things that we're into right now. You know, we'll.
You want to wrap up the podcast with that? How much time do we have?
I don't know. People seem to like that when we recommend things and they can go check stuff out.
I watched Exit Through the Gift Shop, which if you haven't seen yet, is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, what do you think?
What do I think?
Mr. Brainwash.
Well, we can't give it away. People haven't seen it yet.
That's true.
So we have to...
I don't know why you haven't seen it yet. It's on DVD.
It's on Instant Watch as well. It is fan.
Here's your assignment, people. Watch that.
Thoroughly engaging from start to finish.
Yeah, have a blast.
And you know what's amazing to me about Banksy is that, I mean, there's some people, it's like when I watch comics, like if I watch, you know, Zach Galifianakis or Paul F. Tompkins or Louis C.K. or Maria Bamford, and then I just watch other comics, and it's like you see, same with Banksy, it's just like he is in a whole different level. Like he is operating from a whole different plane that you just, you know, I look at that and I go, yeah, I don't think I could ever learn to do that. I think that there's just something genetically about...
Some people think, though, there are theories that Banksy is a collective.
Could be.
And it kind of makes a lot of sense. I mean, there are varied styles in the things he does, which wouldn't really – that sometimes – unless he's really good at just kind of, you know, doing different styles. But there's a lot of different
– I don't think he's a collective because collectives, you get leaks in collectives.
Ah, that's a good point. But he does work with other guys.
It could just be two guys. I mean, it could be a two-guy collective.
Anyway, it's a great documentary.
It really is great.
Yeah, one of my favorite documentaries since King of Kong.
I also saw Never Let Me Go, which I thought was really good.
What's that?
It's Carey Mulligan and Andrew Garfield and Keira Knightley.
Oh.
And it's really interesting. It's not necessarily a sci-fi movie, but it sort of presupposes that there's this alternate universe where they where people are. Shit, I don't want to give it away now. Just
don't
rent it.
It's
called.
It's like White Man's Burden with John Travolta.
It's just like White Man's Burden. Exactly like White Man's Burden with Keira Knightley.
Yeah. What?
Dave Matthews Band's on that soundtrack. Tripping Billies is the song.
Oh.
Yeah, enjoy
Jesus
that.
Christ.
What? Hey, come on.
I'm not going to enjoy it. Billing problem with my TypePad account because I don't have one anymore. How about that problem email? So I saw those two movies, which I thought were really, really pretty great.
Nice.
What about you guys?
All I've been watching is Doctor Who.
Good for you.
I've been rewatching the Star Trek movies recently.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I forgot how bad Generations is.
You're not a fan?
It's so awful. You have the potential of Captain Kirk and Captain Picard in the same movie,
mm-hmm.
and they just did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Well, they go. You know, he goes into the Nexus.
He goes into the Nexus, which is the stupidest thing that I have ever seen in my life. And then
what
the
is wrong?
Goldberg's in
what
it
is wrong
as
with
an echo.
Matthew, what is wrong with an interstellar pleasure ribbon?
Here's the problem with that.
Made of light.
The most annoying thing about that is they never explain why everybody's in the Nexus and all of a sudden on transport ships for the Enterprise B to save. No one explains that.
I have a feeling one of our listeners will explain that.
Someone please explain that to me. Secondly, they... fucking the same thing with your Marty McFly letter to Doc Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Picard's in the fucking Nexus. He can go back to any point he wants to. Why does he go back to the point where Dr. Sorin's already on Viridian 3 ready to blow up that star?
Oh, man. It's almost like they did that to create some kind of conflict in a story that they made up.
Jonah, Matt's already taken a beating today.
The movie was already an hour and 50 minutes long when he decides to do that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is what I, when people complain about, it's like, oh, so it just happened that he found that gun there to save the day. Well, yeah, that's how he's able to fucking save the day and wrap up the movie. Oh, he just happens to go and fucking do, it's like, yeah, that's what had to happen.
And the other thing.
Well, no, it's like when people talk about Knocked Up, they say it's like, a woman in her position wouldn't keep the baby. It's like, yeah, if she didn't keep the baby, that's not a fucking movie.
Right.
It's just like, oh, that's a short about, it's a weird short.
That movie is called Knocked Up, but not for long.
Yes, exactly. It's a parenthetical.
knocked out. They just knocked out.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was your end? Another thing.
The battle between the Klingon battlecruiser and the Enterprise D pisses me off.
What bothers you about it?
Well, I mean they find the shield frequency.
Okay.
They penetrate the shields with a couple of disruptor blasts.
Mm-hmm.
They're firing torpedoes at the thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they don't rotate shield modulation. It's the first thing you'd do.
Any Federation officer knows that.
They know that.
Yeah.
And they're in a galaxy class starship. They could have sent a maraud of torpedoes at the ship and blown it up with its shields up.
Is it ever weird to you out that every sci-fi venture, no matter what, always has the basis that shields exist? That's a thing in sci-fi. There's just shields around ships.
Because
and that's,
it has to be a thing in actual space travel. If we're going to go past the moon, we're going to need, because there's
radiation.
So much shit out there.
And debris.
They're going to need to figure that out.
Is it weird that that Matt has a little bit of a boner right now?
That's a full-on boner.
It is.
You know, people are fucking rallying online to, like, they're tweeting me, has Matt been doing stand up yet?
Are you writing at least?
Yeah, I've been writing every day for the last 2 weeks.
And how are you writing? Do you get up in the morning and just start writing anything that comes?
No, first of all, I get up in the morning and walk for 3 miles so my leg doesn't make me cry.
Mm-hmm.
Then I
you might want to explain that a little bit.
And what do
no,
I do?
Know. I have sciatica, so my leg, there's a bundle of nerves somewhere that makes my leg hurt when I sit.
What can I do so your leg doesn't make me cry?
Well, your leg hurts. Your arm's in a fucking sling.
You're next.
What's wrong with you?
The Nerdist curse.
It's like the Poltergeist curse.
Exactly.
So what'll happen is I'll go to work early, and I'll go to the Barnes & Noble, and I'll sit there with my laptop, and I'll just do work. I've been This week, though, hasn't been as much stand-up as I'd like because Tom Lennon and I have been writing the one-star thing back and forth, so I've been doing that mostly, but yeah. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying.
Do you have a target date? I feel like your first
target date for what?
For stand-up. Your first stand-up show has to be at Nerdist at Meltdown.
Well, I mean, I do. I've done stand-up. It wouldn't be my first stand-up show.
But since this new kind of plan is in place, right?
Technically, it's March 2nd.
March 2nd's the first?
I'm already doing
it. Oh, you are? Yeah. Oh, you're doing Meltdown March 2nd. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot to. Yeah.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Tom Lennon's on that show, too.
Yep.
Do you want to record it?
Do I want to record it?
People
want to
hear
it. I don't know, because the odd thing is I just did Meltdown the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many people are still going to be repeating.
I don't think you should worry about that.
Don't worry about it.
No. I don't think you worry about that. Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
And you riff. You tend to riff anyway, so I think you'll be fine. When are you going to do the next Comedians You Should Know special?
Well, we can't call it that anymore.
What are you going to do the next...
what are you going to do the next Our Special's Better Than Yours?
Yeah. Comedians You Shouldn't Not Know special.
Yes, there you go. Shouldn't.
From now on, it'll probably just be... I don't know what we're going to call it.
Check it out.
It could
How about
just be
that?
Meltdown Comedy Special or something.
Yeah.
You know, episode 2, episode 3, episode 4. You know, I feel like we could do those every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll probably do one again early in the summer. Yeah, 2 a year.
Summer and winter, I like it.
Yeah.
That means I got to fucking start writing.
You're going to start writing again. Maybe Matthew, you'll be on the next one.
We'll
but there's so many great comics that I love that I would love to see on the next one that we didn't have time. Couldn't sandwich in to the first one.
Yeah. A lot of good comics right now.
Let's do a day at Disneyland where we all go to Disneyland.
Okay.
I just want to do that.
All right. You want to get the I have an annual pass, so we'll...
I'm going to get an annual pass, too.
We'll park hop.
We should do it.
Yeah. California Adventure has some good rides.
They have the Toy Story ride is phenomenal.
Oh, so is Mulholland Madness is pretty fucking sweet,
the best
too.
The best show out of any of them, the Muppets show, is so good.
Mulholland Madness is not there anymore.
What?
They pulled that out.
Why would they do that?
It's now going to be a Goofy ride.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God. Jonah, I'm sorry.
I mean, besides the fucking roller coaster, why would they take Mulholland Madness out? What the fuck?
Screaming sucks.
Whoa, the way it starts off all of a sudden, that's pretty cool.
3, 2, and then it fires you like a sperm load.
Well, yeah. I mean, my favorite roller coaster that does actually the Rocket roller coaster in MGM it's not MGM anymore, Disney Studios and Disney World. We need to tour colleges, so I want the University of Central Florida to book us so that we all three of us can go to Disney World, too.
Okay.
So if the University of Central Florida is listening, which I doubt.
They might not be.
I almost went to University of Central Florida, and then I realized Florida is not my favorite place to live.
I lived there for a while. It was not my favorite place
to live. I lived there for 6 days. I moved for 6 days.
And you literally said, I can't tolerate
this.
Was it the humidity?
It was the... fact that we were in a one-bedroom condo, and it was my sisters and me and my parents, and they were like gonna buy a house, and it was like the third day I drove to Barnes and Noble as like the thing I did that day. Then I was like, nope.
So where'd you go?
Back to Boston.
You went back to Boston.
Yeah, and finished. I did some school and then worked at the funeral.
You told me a story recently about how you and your friend flew to Florida just to get some food from.
Well, there's at the Norway. Showcase in Epcot Center, there are these Danishes that they have that are so good that we flew just to do that.
From Boston, they flew to Florida.
Where did you get these thousands of dollars to...
It's really not. It's only hundreds of dollars.
Really?
Flights to Orlando and back, if you book them out.
But you're renting a car, you have to pay the tickets.
Not renting a car. Having my mom pick me up at the airport.
Oh, there you go.
Using my dad's yearly pass for Disney.
Everything's starting to make sense now. The economics of it are working out.
Yeah, if only the motivation you had to go get that Danish would somehow be the motivation you would have to do comedy.
What is wrong with you? What? I'm trying.
He is, Jonah.
Yeah, do you understand how much time I spend at that place that I work at sometimes?
Matthew, you know it's only because we love you and because we think you're so talented and funny that you deserve to be a performer.
No, and eventually it'll happen. I just,
like abusive husbands.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
So
you're
going to
do it.
Go to Tweaked Audio and please do things.
Yeah, tweakedaudio.com/nerdist. Get some earbuds. $10 off.
Someone said on the site that we should make a free Matt Myra t-shirt.
We can make those.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah.
I feel like the next Nerdist t-shirt should be an Enjoy Your Burrito shirt.
Yeah, All does right. anyone want to...
The third one.
have a design contest.
Well, I don't know where we would find those people.
Yeah, yeah. Nerd sourcing, Chris. It's fun.
I don't understand.
I don't know what that would even look like if someone could maybe show us.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe if someone had a website, they could post a thing and people could submit, make submissions. Yeah. And we could, I don't know. I don't know how any of that would work out. I just don't understand
the internet. That slow carb thing is really—it's actually working pretty well.
You look good,
right? Like, yeah, look at this. Good. This, you stand up, and this doesn't shoot out anymore.
No. Wow, you really have lost.
But what was funny is I had the shirt. I buttoned up the shirt that I hadn't buttoned up in about 4 years.
That's great.
And I was talking to Greta. We were at a Starbucks, and she dropped something on the floor, and I went to go pick it up, and I did a way too aggressive bend and ripped the shirt.
Oh.
It was very funny.
Did you get angry? Was that what happened? And you
became
the Hulk?
Hulk smash.
Well, you look great, and you definitely, we are on track to have you performing March 2nd at Met Meltdown.
Yeah.
At Meltdown Comics on Sunset Boulevard, new home to Nerdist Industries. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/Nerdist.
Please.
And then I think that's it. This was another fun, hostful podcast, you guys. I like hanging out with you dicks.
Yeah.
It is so much fun.
Yeah, we love the feedback on the comments.
I thought 20 people would listen to these hostful.
I love that they get so many comments.
They get more comments than the guest ones. It makes me all gushy inside. Like, yeah. That's so sweet. I love our
listeners. What I don't love is the fact that we are recording them on pace right now. We have none banked.
Well, this weekend we'll bank a few.
We don't have any Banksy'd, you guys. No.
The Nerdist is not just one guy, it's a collective.
It's a collective.
If we do it Sunday, we're going to do it in the morning. But that's beside it. We'll talk about scheduling later.
Okay.
It's not interesting to anyone.
Enjoy your burrito.
Why was I not breathing? Like, that was going to get picked up. Breath. I'm like holding my breath.
Guys, I have to pee all of a sudden now. You know, like when you play hide and seek and then you got to pee because you get excited?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.